Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
Philip Rucker, the Washington Post White House bureau chief, he's covered the Trump administration for the past 3 years, and he decided to take a step back from day-to-day stories when he and fellow Washington Post reporter Carol Lenig decided to try to make sense of the current administration. So the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist wrote this new book, A Very Stable Genius, Donald Trump's Testing of America. And Philip Rucker joins me now. Phil, a lot of times when journalists release books covering the Trump administration, the authors are taken to task for the titles, which some supporters of the president see as mocking. Bob Woodward experienced this with his book Fear, but Woodward's response was that title came from Trump himself. So, A Very Stable Genius. Where did that come from?
You know, it came from Trump himself, and I, you know, can understand how some Trump supporters could see that title as mocking, but it's really not. It's a deadly serious book, and Carol and I selected that title because it's the president's own self-description for himself. It's a phrase he first used in January of 2018 when there was a national discussion underway about his fitness for office, his psychological health, his mental acuity, and Trump defended himself by saying, I'm not only a genius, but I'm a very stable genius. He's since used that phrase, by the way, at least four additional times, and when selecting a title for this book, which is a history book of this presidency, but also a character study of the president, Carol and I felt A Very Stable Genius, you know, use the president's own self-description, hold it up as a mirror on his behavior, stress test it against the accounts of more than 200 senior administration officials and other advisors of the president who we interviewed for the book. And it feels to us like the perfect title for such a serious work.
Well, you mentioned there's a couple hundred unnamed sources in this book, and the fact that they're unnamed, it always makes it a very easy target for critics. But as a journalist, when you use unnamed sources, what's your strategy as far as making sure they're both accurate and complete sources?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that question, because a lot of times people have misperceptions about anonymous sourcing and about the way we do our craft as journalists. And, you know, the reason many of these sources are anonymous is because they feared feared retaliation from the president if they were to be named. They thought they might lose their jobs. They thought worse could happen. They were afraid to speak out publicly, but they wanted to share what they witnessed for the benefit of history and for this book. And Carol and I were scrupulous in our process in reporting the scenes in this book. Everything in the book has been vetted by multiple sources if possible. We reviewed calendar entries, diary entries, private video accounts in some cases, to make sure that the way we're describing the scenes, the way we're quoting officials in the dialogue, is as accurate and close to the truth as we could possibly determine it to be. And things that we learned from anonymous sources that didn't pan out or that we didn't feel 100% confident in the accuracy of, we did not include in the book. That stuff fell by the wayside. And what is in A Very Stable Genius is all thoroughly fact-checked and vetted.
And then anonymous sources also become sort of a fun guessing game for political junkies. So do you have insiders in Washington coming up and asking you, hey, is this source, is that John Kelly?
You know, there's a little bit of that, and there always is when books like this are written. But Carol and I we're serious journalists, and we pride ourselves in the way we protect our sources and the professionalism with which we conduct our reporting, and we don't really engage in those sorts of conversations, and it might be fun for other people to guess, but we don't play those games. This is serious business, and we keep that to ourselves.
Looking at this Trump White House, how does the transparency of it compare to that of previous administrations you've covered?
It's interesting. The president personally is so much more accessible and transparent than his predecessors. And what I mean by that is he tweets multiple times a day. We always know what's on his mind, what his mood is, how he's feeling about a particular issue in the news or a particular challenge for his government. He also interacts quite frequently with reporters. He takes questions almost every day in the Oval Office or under the wings of the helicopter, and that's new. We're not used to having that level of interaction and insight visibility into a president. However, his administration is far less transparent in other ways. He has not released his tax returns, for example. He has shared very little information about his physical health. He has provided no information about who visits the White House. The visitor logs are no longer accessible to the public. They were during the Obama White House, and that's important because you can see which industry lobbyists and other influencers are gaining access to administration officials. And there are other ways that he tries to shut out public accountability and information. There are no press briefings, for example. But in terms of being personally accessible and sharing his thoughts, he clearly has set a new precedent.
I'm chatting with Philip Rucker. He's the co-author, along with Carol Lenig, of A Very Stable Genius, Donald J. Trump's Testing of America. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold, and I know people are picking it up because it is a bestseller. Phil, as you work for the Washington Post and you cover the White House day to day, how does compiling all this information for a book and then releasing it differ than if you'd reported all these events in real time in the Washington Post?
Yeah, you know, it's so different. And I Carol and I both covered a lot of these events in real time for the Washington Post. It's our job to chronicle this stuff, to try to surface these stories and get them into the paper with urgency and immediacy. But it became dizzying. That's why we hit the pause button to try to write this history book. And what we found in going back to sources to do interviews for this book is that for the benefit of history and a longer scope, they were more willing to share more of their stories. We had hours of sit-down interviews with some of these officials that we'd spend all day talking to them about some of these key moments and flashpoints in the government, and they wouldn't do that for the paper. You know, some of the sources we have for this book were people who simply don't talk to reporters regularly, who never interacted with us for the purposes of a story in the Washington Post, but when a history project came about, which is what A Very Stable Genius is, they were willing to open their notebooks and share their experiences.
One of the interesting things I thought was the premonition of Steve Bannon. Right after President Trump's in the White House, he calls Nancy Pelosi a total assassin and says something to the effect that she's going to get us. Was that an assessment shared by the president at the time?
That's a great question. It's a really vivid scene where Bannon saw Pelosi challenge the president in really his first or second day on the job, and described her as an assassin, and told his allies in the administration that they needed to be watchful of her, that she's going to get us. You know, I know Trump was always impressed by Pelosi's political skill, by her cunning, savvy approach to politics, and her willingness, her toughness to stand up to him. That impressed him. It, to some degree, made him fearful, although I don't know that he ever came to calling her an assassin, which is the word that Bannon used.
And Robert Mueller, the independent counsel, always seemed, when I would see him in news reports or on TV, a real pillar of strength. But you describe him in the book, and they tend to show another side of him. What did you take away from the stories about Mueller and his experience?
Yeah, you know, Mueller is such an interesting character. He, in many ways, was the main antagonist to Trump through these years, and was a pillar of strength, the Marine platoon commander, the revered former director of the FBI who charted a new path for law enforcement and intelligence in the post-9/11 world, a real paragon of morality and strength in Washington. And yet, when he took over the special counsel investigation, the Russia investigation, he was in his later years. We described some moments in the book where people worried about his physical health and his bearing. His hands were shaky in one moment. There were periods of time when he was absent from the investigation, and people in the Justice Department called him Wizard of Oz because they would always hear about him from his deputies, but they wouldn't actually see him there. It's an interesting arc. And the one thing that we ended up concluding about Mueller was that he just got outfoxed by Trump and his allies, including the Attorney General now, Bill Barr, who were playing a 21st century game. They were trying to manipulate the media and gain an advantage with branding and messaging, and Mueller was old school, and he thought, you know what, I'm going to stay quiet. I'm not going to talk throughout this investigation. I'm going to compile my facts I'm going to present the facts in a 448-some-odd-page report to the public. The public's going to read it and understand. But he didn't realize that we're a Twitter society now, and the public looks for headlines and a quick, snappy conclusions, and that's where Trump and Barr gained an insurmountable advantage.
We just scratched the surface of this book. It's A Very Stable Genius, Donald J. Trump's Testing of America, by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists Philip Rucker and Carol Lenig of The Washington Post. Philip, just an amazing book, a work of history you've put together here. Thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Thanks so much for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. Only in America.